Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health present It's Time to Smile.
With Eddie Cantor. Time to smile. Time to wear a grin. That's the style. Put a dimple in your chin. Let your troubles ride from your fireside through the countryside, cross the great divide. Push your cares aside. Find the sunny side. Time to smile.
And here he is, Eddie Cantor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Harry,
yes, sir?
My dream has come true. You know, I've always wanted Hedy Lamarr as my neighbor.
Yeah?
I've got her.
Oh,
I've got her, Harry.
Really? Did she move next door?
No, no. Remember the rain last Friday night?
Yeah.
Her house floated right up next to mine and it's anchored there, Harry. Until the next big rain, Hedy's next to Eddie.
Oh, now, come, Eddie. I don't believe a house can float, even in a storm like the one we had.
You don't? Do you recall the 5- and 10-cent store on Hollywood and Fairfax?
Yes.
Well, it became a yacht Saturday morning, Harry.
A yacht?
Yeah. It floated right past me, and plain as day, I read S.S. Kresge.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. The weather couldn't have been that bad.
No? Then why did the footprints of the Chinese theater send out a hurry call for galoshes?
I don't know. In all fairness, though, Eddie, you will admit that all during the storm, the sun did come out every day for a little while.
That's right. The sun came out, even if it was for a minute. Just long enough to apologize and right back behind the cloud again. Oh, and the poor president of the Chamber of Commerce here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yes.
I saw him at a drive-in. He was wearing a false beard and dark glasses, but I recognized him. I said, well, what do you think of the weather? And he said, this is not our weather. It's just a refugee storm from Florida. Honestly, things got so bad. Yesterday, I saw two seals from the zoo hitchhiking to Arizona. They were finning a ride. They just couldn't take it any longer, Harry.
Oh, now look, Eddie. Yeah. There are more important things to talk about right now. For instance, you never told me what happened with that mystery man who threatened you because the baby cried last week.
Oh, well, Harry, while you went for the police, you remember?
Yeah.
The mystery man kept pounding on the door. I was singing. And when I finally opened the door, something had frightened him away.
You were singing?
Yeah.
Something frightened him away.
Yeah, something did. Oh, uh-oh. There's our little baby. She's crying. Hey, if that mystery man hears him.
Hey, listen. Eddie, that must be him now. What do we do?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
John Barrymore. Well, well. John, what are you doing here?
I happen to live next door, unfortunately. And that infernal yelping disturbed me at the most inopportune moment.
Well, I'm sorry, John, but what were you doing?
I was practicing with my yo-yo.
Well, I didn't mean to disturb you, John, but after all, the baby...
Baby? Gadzooks, Cantor, are you still having those things?
Don't understand. I found this baby in a bureau drawer. Look at him, John. Isn't he cute?
Huh? Edward, that child has talent. He should go on the stage immediately.
Well, look, John, don't you think that little Joe is a bit young to be an actor? Why, he can't even walk yet.
Preposterous. Why, I learned to walk when I was 5 months old.
That's amazing. How did you do it?
Well, a pretty nurse strolled past my crib, and I followed her.
Yes, and if I know you, John, you caught her.
To be a baby again. To be able to sit on a woman's lap without buying her a fur coat.
Well, with all your clouding, John, the people really love you when you do Shakespeare.
No, Eddie. Entertainment has changed vastly in the last few years. I can remember in the old days, we had the Sarah Bernhardts, the Eleonora Duzas, the David Warfields. What have we got today? The Quiz Kids and Oscar Levant.
I will admit everything is quiz programs now, John.
Yeah, but can you imagine me walking out on the stage saying, to be or not to be, that is the question. I'd have to give $15 and a set of encyclopedias for the answer.
No, John, the public will never forget the magnificent spectacle you presented in those Shakespearean plays. The way you dressed, those little bloomers.
Oh, now, Eddie.
And those sheer stockings that showed off your legs.
I had to stop dressing like that.
Why? Did the public get tired of looking at your legs?
Yes. Darn that Betty Grable.
Barrymore, honestly, you amaze me. Gosh, you certainly look good for your age.
Thanks, Eddie. You look good for your age, too. Yeah? It's wonderful how you keep going year after year.
Let's not get catty about our ages, John. You know, I thought you were great when I saw you in Romeo and Juliet in 1918.
Thanks, Eddie. I certainly enjoyed you and the Follies of 1892.
Of course, in those days, John, I was just playing a baby part, but you were a big star. I shall never forget the marquee of your theater with your name lit up in gas.
Wait a moment, Cantor. I am still on the sunny side of 40.
Yeah, you must have been there a long time. You're starting to peel. Remember, John Barrymore, I am only 47.
Cantor, you were 47 when Bull Durham was a mere calf.
Why, John.
Now, don't John me, you four-a-day variety buffoon.
Yeah, but look, I'm one of your best fans.
You split-week tragedian.
Why, I never miss any of your plays.
You! Which one did you like best?
Well, I've seen all your plays, John, and I like you best in Hamlet.
Well, I've seen all your plays, Eddie.
Yes?
And I still like me best in Hamlet.
A modest little chap, isn't he?
Oh, Mr. Cantor.
What is it, Dinah Shaw? Hello, Dinah. Come right in. What is it, Dinah?
Can you lend me 18 cents, please?
Hey, what do you need 18 cents for?
Oh, Phil Harris's laundry just came back.
Oh, Dinah, forget Phil Harris for a minute. I want you to meet the greatest matinee idol of all time, John Barrymore. This is Dinah Shaw.
You're beautiful, my dear. You're ravishing.
Oh, Mr. Barrymore, I'm so thrilled to meet you.
Careful, Dinah. Compared to Barrymore, Phil Harris is just a Boy Scout.
My dear, dear child, pay no attention to the rantings of this old goat. Tell me about yourself.
Gee, Mr. Barrymore, you're just like Phil Harris said you were.
Phil Harris?
Yes, you know, your dramatic coach. Well, he told me he's been sitting up nights teaching you to read Shakespeare.
My dear lady, Phil Harris may have been sitting up nights, but not with me.
Well, Mr. Barrymore, if he hasn't been seeing you nights, maybe he's been teaching you in the daytime.
Daytime? What's that? And who is this Phil Harris person?
I can't understand it. Phil is very happy about your work. He says you have the makings of another Rudy Valley.
Rudy Valley? Dinah, don't you see Phil has been ribbing you?
Night child, how can you allow yourself to be wooed by that corny Casanova of the Wilshire Bowl?
But haven't you ever found someone you knew was the only person in the world for you?
Darling, hundreds of times.
Dinah, you're wasting your time. Remember last week on our program we had the voice of experience?
Yes, sir.
Well, here's the guy that taught him all he knows. Now, take the baby in the next room, Dinah, and give him his bottle, will you, please?
All right, Mr. Cantor. Come on, you cute little ookum snookum. Let me pick you up in my arms.
Goo, 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 goo.
Not you, John. Wait a minute. She doesn't mean you.
Yes, I do.
But Dinah, I thought you and Phil Harris, Dinah, what's the matter? Didn't I...
Well, maybe if I could make him jealous, I wouldn't have to be sitting home all by myself thinking of Phil with a lot of girls around him with laughter and with music over there at the Wilshire Bowl. There is a tavern in the town, and there my true love sits him down and winks his eye at the damsels passing by and never, never thinks of me. He was just a corny yokel till they let him join the local. Now he is the famous maestro at the Wilshire Bowl. Though he is a meanie, he's the poor man's Toscanini, and nobody else can touch him with a 10-foot pole. Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu. I can no longer stay with you, but I'll hang my heart on the weeping willow tree because he never thinks of me.
There are lots of other heroes at the Derby and at Ciro's. Mr. Harris is as corny as a whippoorwill.
Ah, but he's a union, yes indeed. Oh, he will travel as tuxedo, and I'll never give up trying till I've got my bill.
Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu.
I must leave thee.
She can no longer stay with you.
Fare thee well, cause I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree because he never thinks of me.
Dinah, your singing put the baby to sleep. We'd better walk on tiptoe now, quietly. Very quietly.
Hey, Eddie!
Harry! What? Harry, must you make all that noise? The baby's asleep.
Oh, gee, Eddie, I'm sorry. Oh, look at the little fella. Isn't he cute?
What did you want, Harry?
Oh, well, there's something I wanted to say to the folks listening in, but if the baby's asleep, I...
Well, that's all right, Harry. Go ahead, say it, but just talk softly.
Okay.
Okay. Can't you read? It says softly.
Yes, I'm sorry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to remind you that when you know about Sal Hepatica, well, then you need never put off till night, taking the laxative you need in the morning or during the day. Speedy Sal Hepatica brings you gentle relief, usually within an hour.
That's the idea, Harry. Go on.
Yes. And at the same time, sparkling Sal Hepatica helps you in another way. It helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
And don't forget that 3 out of every 5 physicians recently interviewed recommend Sal Hepatica. That's important, Harry.
Certainly is. So, ladies and gentlemen, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tomorrow. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
You ought to feel complimented, little Joe. John Barrymore said you had talent. What's that? Maybe it's that mystery man again. Who's there?
It's me, Eddie. Why do you get so excited every time somebody knocks at the door?
Well, you see, John, there's a mysterious stranger who threatens me whenever the baby cries. He seems to appear from nowhere.
Let him harm one hair on your head, and I'll have him tossed into the dungeon, tied to a rack, and beaten to within an inch of his life.
Gee, you sound brave.
Who's brave? That's the third act from King Lear.
Listen to him, John. The baby loves good acting.
Then by all means, remove him from the environment of Hollywood immediately.
Oh, maybe they've forgotten my last page. Be serious, John. Don't you see? If we can keep the baby from crying, that mystery man won't bother me anymore. Look, we'll do a dramatic scene together, shall we?
What? Me perform with you? That is like serving caviar with crumb cake.
I resent that, John. You have no right to call yourself a crumb cake.
I meant you.
Just a moment. Just a moment, Barrymore. True enough. On the exterior, I appear to be a clown, a buffoon. But inside, deep down inside, there's something... Something.
Yes, go on.
Have you seen my operation? Oh, the baby. Quick, John, do something to keep him from crying, will you?
Very well, very well. I shall do that scene from Hamlet, where the stage is dark except for a solitary spotlight. A tall, impressive figure enters and speaks those immortal words.
How do you do?
The Mad Russian! Well, John? John, what do you think of him, huh?
Eddie, it is amazing.
What? What's amazing?
When I played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a crew of makeup men took 5 hours to make me look like that. You know, Eddie, that man looks exactly like I feel.
You shouldn't talk like that.
Paramount.
Let me tell you why. When I was born, my parents put me in front of the mirror, and what I saw...
Yes?
...should happen to our dog.
Russian, will you stop shouting? First thing you know, the baby will cry, and that man will be here. See? Now, we got to do something to keep him quiet. John, suppose you and the Russian do a scene from one of your plays.
You expect me to perform with this bushy-haired buzzard? This fugitive from a tonsorial parlor.
That's a lie. Last month, I had my tonsorials removed.
Russian. Russian, don't argue. After all, he is the great profile.
Profile, nail file, junk file. He's still a ham.
Ham? Ham! This Brillo head calls me a ham. Happy camper, am I a ham?
Look, the baby's getting restless. One of us better start acting. You start, John. You're versatile.
Let me start. I'm repulsive.
For once, you are correct. You look like a detour from Tobacco Row.
Well, I've been sleeping in a stable. What's your excuse?
The baby. Let's do something quick.
Very well. Now, I'm playing the part of the father who returns home to his son after an absence of 60 years. As the scene opens, Barrymore rushes up and kisses me.
Hold on! Kiss you? Why, I'd sooner bite into a wet moccasin.
Well, every man to his own taste, you know.
Stop stalling, Russian. Will you do the scene?
Very well. Far away in the distance... we hear the tinkle of the bells. Gudornya Yumorsky. Gudornya Yumorsky.
Wait a minute. What is that Gudornya Yumorsky?
Good humor's in Russian.
Continue, you Siberian smudge pot.
Very well. My sweetheart enters. Barrymore, you got a spare sweetheart.
Well?
Never mind, Barrymore, never mind. I'll get him a sweetheart. Dinah?
Yes, sir?
The Russian is going to pretend to make love to you.
What?
Look, it'll amuse the baby and keep him quiet. Go ahead, Russian.
Ah, my dear, you are beautiful.
Oh, sweetheart. Yes? I didn't even know you cared. You fascinate me. Let me run my fingers through your hair.
Okie dokie. And if you find the pigeon there, let him alone. I'm his nest. Come, Dinah, my darling. Put your arms around me. Hold me closer, darling. Closer, darling. Closer, darling.
That's enough, Russian. Stop acting.
Who's acting? Leave me alone.
Russian, if you love me, why is it you never take me anywhere? You even make me sit home on my birthday.
It's uncomfortable. All right, you can sit on my birthday.
Oh, you beast.
Oh, my darling, my little dove. You are crying.
Oh, it's nothing.
I know, but it's putting out my cigar.
Oh, that's ridiculous, John. John, please, show him how to make love, will you?
Very well. I think Elaine's in front. Dinah, my dear, let me look at you.
Yes, John?
Such a gorgeous creature. Such gorgeous blue eyes. Such gorgeous wavy hair.
But I haven't got blue eyes and wavy hair you have.
Yeah, ain't I gorgeous?
Oh, John, I didn't even know you cared. Don't ever leave me.
Leave you? Never. Other men may try to take you from me, but they can't. You're mine. Mine!
That's the best laugh we got tonight. John, we could have used you in the audience last week.
I heard your program last week, Eddie. Did you have an audience?
That is an insult. You have insinuated a stigma against my friend Cantor, which I will not tolerate under any circumstances, notwithstanding. Your presence here is superfluous, and your insult is thoroughly inconsequential. Juxtaposition, and never again.
Never again what?
Never again will I sit up all night learning a speech like that.
I knew it. I knew this would happen. Why did you have to interrupt the great Barrymore's love scene?
The great Barrymore. What experience has he had? Who has he made love to? Yeah,
who hasn't he?
In the first place, Russian, I made love to Garbo. After that, I made love to Carol Lombard, Billy Burke, and 100 others.
Couldn't hold a job, huh?
Why, you caricature of a Cocker Spaniel.
John, don't put in your own lines and don't be angry. As long as this byplay keeps the baby quiet, we should all be happy, huh?
For the sake of the infant, I shall make both you and this borscht-inhaling baboon members of my Didi Dramatic Society.
Oh, good.
Let us each recite a line from Julius Caesar. I'll start. Friends, Romans, countrymen.
Lend me your ears. That's very funny. Very funny.
What? What's very funny?
With my ears, I gotta borrow somebody else's.
Oh, get out. Get out, Russell. Quite a character, isn't he, John? Oh, my.
Hey, Eddie, what's going on in here? The baby's crying again.
Excuse me for a moment, John. Harry, stop fretting. Baby Joe is just teething.
Oh, just teething. Just teething. Eddie, you don't seem to realize how important that is. Oh, you mean you don't either? Well, now, look, little Joe. You and I have got to have a heart-to-heart talk here. Of course, I know that you're just beginning to get your teeth now, so naturally you haven't had a chance to do any serious thinking about the matter. But pretty soon you'll be growing up, you see, and then you'll certainly realize the importance of an attractive smile. Exactly, it's what I say. Your Uncle Harry realizes it, and he knows, too, that you can't have an attractive smile unless you have sparkling teeth and healthy gums, too. That's why it's such a good idea to use... Yeah, exactly, Ipana toothpaste and massage. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Ipana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to give gums exercise and stimulation. Stimulation they need to keep them firm and healthy, and less susceptible to gum trouble. So why not adopt this common-sense dental routine?
Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you're massaging with the toothpaste that's the favorite of so many dentists. For a recent nationwide survey revealed this remarkable fact.
Dentists prefer Ipana toothpaste for their own personal use 2-to-1 over any other dentifrice, paste, powder, or liquid.
It's to your advantage to follow this easy, modern way to brighter teeth, firmer gums, and a more sparkling smile. Ipana and massage. Yes, sir, you took the words right out of my mouth, little Joe. Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Look, John Barrymore. Look at the sweet little darling lying there in the crib. Isn't he grand?
Eddie, he's a splendid baby. And may I say, I think he's in fine hands.
Thank you, John. And thank you for coming tonight.
I wish I didn't have to go, Eddie.
Yeah. Oh. Hello? Oh, yes, you caught him just in time. He was about to leave. It's for you, John.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Yes, this is John Barrymore. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't go with you. These all-night parties are too much for me. I don't care how many girls you have. I just can't keep up the pace with you anymore. Goodbye, Lionel.
right, John. Harry.
Yes, Eddie.
Let me take the baby and come on here into the nursery.
All right.
There. Isn't that pretty?
Gee, Mother Goose wallpaper.
But this is a pretty up-to-date Mother Goose, isn't it, Little Joe? Huh? There's Jack Sprat, who could eat no fat, 'cause he wanted to reduce. But he hangs his hat in the automat, in the streamlined Mother Goose. The Queen of Hearts made little tarts and dainty Charlotte Russe. But the porridge in the pot is always hot in the streamlined Mother Goose. Over there is Bo Peep, no sheep to keep him solemn. While you're sleeping, he's out peeping. They call him Jimmy Findler and he writes a column. Jack and Jill dress fit to kill and rhythm's on the loose. Everybody's hep to the latest step in the streamlined Mother Goose.
C5-O thumb, swing to the rhythm of the big bass drum.
Pussycat, where have you been? We need some strings for the violin.
Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick with the hot lick on the licorice stick.
The cows in the meadow, the sheep's in the corn.
Little boy blue, come blow your horn.
The little toy soldiers drop their guns. They've decided on a truce.
Everybody's gay. It's a holiday in the streamlined Mother Goose.
24 blackbirds singing, swinging like the dew.
The man from St. Ives, he really jives
in the streamlined Mother Goose.
The old woman in the shoe, her nerves were jumpy and edgy. But that's all changed, it's rearranged. She and the kids are living in a wedgie.
Lazy Mary's wide awake and rhythm's on the loose.
Everybody's hep to the latest step in the
streamline Mother Goose.
Little Joe, right into your crib. There we are. Harry, close the window. There's a draft.
Eddie, the window is closed.
Yeah, but the curtains are moving.
Who's
behind those curtains? Come out!
I wouldn't be so loud if I were you, Cantor.
That voice.
It's the mystery man.
What do you want?
I want you to take good care of that baby. He's worth $1,000,000.
$1,000,000? How can a little baby like this save up so much money?
Cantor, you talk too much.
Look, mister, we've got to know, what is your relationship to this baby? How do you know he's worth $1,000,000?
You'll find out. Wait.
Wait? How long?
Till next Wednesday. Toodaloo. Don't forget to listen. NBC.
Remember to listen to Eddie Cantor same time next week when his guest will be the famous mammy of Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniel. And in the meantime, remember the two products which make this program possible. iPana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. iPana, Sal Hepatica. John Barrymore appears regularly on the Rudy Valley Seal Test program. Within the next few minutes, you may join your Mr. District Attorney, who is about to begin a most baffling mystery case, murder on commission. Stay tuned to this station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.